I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, changemakers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go to the fan hotline. We welcome in Mike Lombardi, who joins us right now. Mike, good morning to you. You are the author of Football Done Right, and you're current general manager of University of North Carolina football. We've had you on many times before. We're happy to have you again here, Michael. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Lima, ask Michael the question
Mike, just asked. The question about Dylan Gabriel, his size, comes up often with shorter quarterbacks in the NFL, but yet Baker Mayfield has been unbelievable the last few years in Tampa Bay. He's not a tall guy. We know about Drew Brees. So how big of a deal is size at quarterback in the NFL?
Well, I mean, look, Steve Young was barely 6 foot. He's in the Hall of Fame. And, you know, I think a lot of it is throwing angles. Do they get balls batted down the line? Early in Baker's career, he got a lot of balls batted down, at least 6 a game, and he was able to finally figure out how to slide and move in the pocket to create the launch point to where he's not going to get passes batted down. I mean, when you get a pass batted down, it's a win for the defense. It's not a sack, but it's almost like a sack. So I think a lot of that. Look, Dylan Gabriel, go back and watch his Oregon tape. My son was the quarterback coach at Oregon last year, coached him. And, you know, he barely got a ball batted down. He had great angle to throw the football. He had really good rhythm to understand where he needed to put the ball. And I think in time, he's going to become a good player. Will he become a starter? I don't know. You know, we got to wait and see on that. It's hard to start in the National Football League for quarterbacks. You got to be able to do it week in and week out. But I think this kid's certainly got instincts and he's got anticipation, which is what you need to be an effective quarterback.
But Mike, this setup in general, normally you want to get the best out of quarterbacks and figure out a way to do that. Sometimes it's going to be up to them. But here you have two veterans and you have two rookies, and those rookies taken the third and fifth round. I don't know how you evaluate those quarterbacks, give them enough reps with your joint practices and preseason games to truly get the best out of them. Can it be done?
You know, that's you just asked the most important question about football. Football is a mathematical problem. Okay, there's that, and no one understands this. There's only so many reps every day at practice. And how you divide those reps is most critical in terms of how you're building your team. Because if you're giving 20 reps a day to a guy who's not going to ever play for you, you're wasting 20 reps. And once you determine what value you have in the player, who do you need to develop? Who don't you need to develop? It's impossible to develop two young quarterbacks at the same time. It's not college. We don't have 400 players on the field like they used to in college, where you could take everybody and move them to a side field and then go over. So to me, it's a very challenge. When you draft a guy in the third and then you come back and pick a guy in the fifth, it becomes very difficult. Look, Al Davis picked a quarterback in the first round from Tennessee State, and in the second round he picked Kenny Stabler. I wrote about it in Football Done Right. Now, how did he do that? Well, they were able, that was a different time and period in the NFL, but I think it's really challenging today based on the rules and based on how much time you can be on the practice field. After you're up there, 2:45, that horn blows, and if you're not off the field, the Players Association is going to call you up. So it's challenging.
Michael Lombardi joining us on the show, former Browns front office member, former NFL executive, current general manager, North Carolina football. There's one player you recruited I'd like to ask you about coming up here in just a moment here, Michael. But, and of course, the book, Football Done Right, Setting the Record Straight on Coaches, Players, and History of the NFL. So there has been some conversation, not by this show, but there has been some conversation about like starting Dylan Gabriel week one. It sounds like you would feel that that's pretty irresponsible.
Well, I think it would be a challenge. It would be hard to put the kid in a position where he could be successful. Look, the quarterback position, and you're the head coach of the team, you got to be able to stand in front of the team and say, this player gives us the best chance to win the game. And I think that's really hard to do on rookie quarterbacks. You know, now, sometimes you're forced to do it. Pittsburgh was forced to do it when Tommy Maddox got hurt, and all of a sudden Ben Roethlisberger had to go play. So that's a different element. But I think it's really challenging for some rookie to come in and say, look at Caleb Williams. I mean, last year he was talked about as the greatest savior to the franchise. How many games did he win for the Bears? You know, how many mistakes did he make that hurt his team? So I think rookies are, you know, now look, Jaden Daniels did a tremendous job for their team, but that's a few and far between. I think it would be unfair to any young quarterback to put him into the fire, especially if you're not going to build your team around, look, we're going to win with defense, we're going to win with kicking game, we're going to run the ball, and we're going to limit the quarterback. That's hard to do in the NFL.
Mike Lombardi with us. The Shedeur Sanders, the specter of him just at training camp, he has said all the right things. There's been no distraction in terms of his dad, film crews, any of that stuff out here. In fact, he's been one of the first guys there, last guys to leave, always putting in the extra work. With that said, as a fifth-round pick, how much of a shot does he really have here with this Browns team in 2025?
Well, I think, look, most what people don't understand about the NFL draft is it's always for your next year's team. It's never for the current team. Certainly, you'll get some production out of a draft pick during the current year, but really what you're building on is for the 26 team. He's not the 25 team. You know, could he go in and play? Perhaps. Would he be effective? Probably not fair to the kids. So I think ultimately every draft class is for the next year's team. You should be evaluating the 24 draft class for the Browns this year. How's that going to line up in terms of impacting their team and getting them over the top? That's really the fundamental question. As for the Shedeur Sanders media circus, I mean, look, that's created by the worldwide leader. No one loves to talk about one thing more than they do. And so that really, it's not the kids' fault that they do it all the time.
Michael Lombardi joining us on the show. So what do you did you ever get a chance to really evaluate him, or have you just been?
No, I've been too busy watching high school quarterbacks. So I didn't know. I mean, this is probably the one draft since I've been out of the league that I really didn't pay any attention to, because my job is to find players for North Carolina, and I no longer have to do the media circuit and understand about that. So I'm pretty content just watching high school tape now.
One of those guys, you did bring in Mason Wilhelm. He's our friend's son out of St. Ed's. What are you expecting for that young man?
Well, I mean, I'm hoping he has a great senior year. You know, I think that's really important to keep developing. Look, offensive lineman, we're excited about him. He's tough. Our whole program's built on being tough, smart, and dependable, and I think that's what Mason clearly is. And that's what we're looking forward in terms of him playing and coming here to North Carolina with a great education and all that. So, look, the one thing all high school players have to do, you know, everybody commits, but the reality of it is, you know, they got to finish their high school, they got to finish strong, and the most important thing is handling their team.
You know, we are at an unprecedented time in youth sports and the cost to do all of this stuff. We talk about it all the time here. We got some fathers in the room. They're paying a lot of money for this stuff. Our listeners are paying a lot of money. You have a chance now to go back and look at high school football players. How do you compare them to, say, 20 years ago, 30 years ago? Are they any better off with all this money being spent?
Well, I mean, the training's so much better. I mean, let's be clear. I mean, they got better training, weight lift. We actually know what we're doing. I mean, do you remember we used to not give water to players during practice? I mean, so I think we've come a long way in that area. But for the most part, I mean, look, the kids are bigger, stronger, tougher, all that, and that really helps.
Michael Lombardi joining us on the show. Listen, I do want to keep it to football. I'm going to keep it to football with you. For the head coach of North Carolina, Bill Belichick, what has this been like for him? Has this been like kind of a new lease on coaching for him? Has this been invigorating for him? Is this a step towards something else, like some people have speculated?
No. Well, I mean, there's been so much speculation. None of it's been accurate. But I think if someone called me the other day and said, is he as happy as he appears? And I said, absolutely. I mean, I think he really enjoys it. And look, he can run his program here at North Carolina. You don't have to worry about the analytical department coming in and telling you to throw the ball on first and 10. You don't have to worry about some owner telling you to draft this player. You don't have to worry about anything. You can run your program. And I think he's got complete reign of that. And that's something refreshing. I mean, you know, the NFL has become micromanaged by a lot of different people, and it's hard. You know, when I first started in the league in 84, Bill Walsh ran the 49ers. There wasn't a lot of people in his way. Today, there's a lot of people involved.
And yet, with all that said, so many of these coaches seem to want to run away kicking and screaming from the current college model because of NIL and transfer portal. But it seems like Bill Belichick is embracing, and you as well, you're embracing this.
We've lived it our whole lives. I mean, a player walking in my office wanting a raise, you think that's new to me? I mean, come on. I mean, a player wanting more money, you think that's new to me? telling a player that he's not going to get more money, you think that's new to me? I mean, it's all the same. I mean, it's actually easy. Here's the difference between college and pro, the way I see it. If I don't draft a guy in the second round and I lose out on that player, you know, I'm done in the draft. I can't replace him. You know, we sat there in the second round in our last draft in Cleveland. Bill and I wanted to draft Curtis Martin, and we missed him. He went before we thought we could get to him. He's a guy in the Hall of Fame. I couldn't replace him, right? And so, but in this thing here, I mean, if I lose a five-star kid down in Alabama, I can find another five-star kid in Georgia.
So, I mean, like, Bill's what, 73 years old, if I'm not mistaken? I think Nick Saban's like a year older than him. Is it out of the question Nick Saban could go back knowing the advantages that you know you have in North Carolina?
I don't know. I mean, Nick knows the college game better than I do. I mean, he's been in a lot longer than I have. I think that's up to Nick. I couldn't answer that.
Do you think, though, like, because everybody accuses him of going away because it's changed so much. And, I mean, he's said as much in so many ways. But, I mean, you make it out to be, it's like, hey, like, this is different now. It's actually advantageous to a guy who coached in the NFL before. Could he adapt to something like that? Would he want to adapt like that? You don't know?
In terms of Bill being in college, Bill's adapted. Bill loves it. I mean, look, it's a different program. I mean, you know, we do the same things. And, you know, you come to our practice is set up like a pro.
Well, and that was my next question. Is this iteration of college football, is this really just another form of professional football right now?
I think it is. I mean, obviously, I think you have to. I mean, you're paying the players. And so when you start paying players, you got to demand that they uphold to it. I mean, this is, you know, we talk to the players all the time about going from pro to amateur. And when you're a pro, you're expected to do it. When you're an amateur, you think you're going to do it. It's a way different. And so it goes both ways here.
The book, Football Done Right, Setting the Record Straight on Coaches, Players, and the History of the NFL. Michael, we thank you very much for the time.
Thanks, guys.
Michael Lombardi on the Fan Hotline, talking to us about all the stuff that's going on with the Cleveland Browns and obviously North Carolina.
Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
Leave the garage door open and turn up the fan. Spend the summer with your home for Cleveland Sports Talk. 92.3 The Fan.
But I think it's really challenging for some rookie to come in and say, look at Caleb Williams. I mean, last year he was talked about as the greatest savior to the franchise. How many games did he win for the Bears? How many mistakes did he make that hurt his team? Jaden Daniels did a tremendous job for their team, but that's a few and far between. I think it would be unfair to any young quarterback to put him into the fire, especially if you're not going to build your team around, look, we're going to win with defense, we're going to win with kicking game, we're going to run the ball, and we're going to limit the quarterback. That's hard to do in the NFL.
Michael Lombardi with us just moments ago on the Fan Hotline. Listen to that interview, 92.3thefan.com, as well as the free Odyssey app with the free rewind function.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports and all things culture. From two U.S. Women's National Team World Cup champions and Olympians, follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Also talked about how it's almost fruitless to go with two quarterbacks, two rookie quarterbacks. Which we've seen teams draft two rookies before. How well has it worked out? I mean, you've taken a guy. See, it's the most open competition, but it also becomes the toughest competition because you got a season you got to get ready for. The OTAs, the minicamp were important. Both guys were available during all that stuff. So you can't blame them for that, like sitting out or anything like Shamar Stewart. So it's not their fault. So it's incumbent upon the organization to then provide the opportunity for him. And if you had a guy you were going clearly with that was going to be your future, well, then there's only so many opportunities. But if it's just a great big question mark, then I think you're open to criticism. Like, as much as I want to say to the people who aren't Browns fans, but they're Shador fans and they're listening on the app in Texas or Colorado or anything, as much as I want to tell them, like, guys, hold on, they're trying to do right by Shador. You just see a bad franchise that's had a bad history with quarterbacks that has a bunch of not so great quarterbacks around your favorite quarterback. If you're a Dillon Gabriel fan, which is far fewer than Shador Sanders, you think the same thing. So why are these guys getting opportunities over my guy? Why are these guys getting that way? Joe Flacco has a fan base here. It's not a very large, boisterous fan base. He's of a different generation. But you don't have this feeling years ago like you do now where these guys have real fan bases. Dylan has a smaller fan base. Shador has a massive one. And you may think, what's it matter? And they could tell you up, down, and around the way as much as they can. Well, he needs more of this. He needs more of that. Yeah, but you can't provide it for him. And I think they're just in a rock and hard place because I said it last week and I mean it now. The only other scenario, the only other training camp I think that would provide him any opportunity like the Browns are providing is maybe New Orleans. I mean, Justin Fields, you are getting ready for the season with him. Tyler Shuck, in so many ways, I don't know if there's reps to go around without Tyler Shuck. Justin Fields, there ain't no reps with the ones. Joe Flacco's an old man. Joe Flacco doesn't need all the reps. I mean, he said so himself. Browns have said so themselves. Here's an opportunity. The only other, the best other opportunity I told you is not in this league. So it's very difficult for a guy like Shador, and it's very difficult for his fans. But then again, you look at the team and you go, this team's not good anyway. Why are you guys worried about playing all these other guys? Just play my favorite player. He's got the highest ceiling, Ken. You said it himself. So play the guy who has the highest ceiling, which it seems irresponsible to do because I want him to be in the best possible shape mentally to go out there and take it in. That means he's got to be able to digest the offense. And apparently they don't believe that he is right now.
Yeah, Ken, I just wonder, you know, I started out the show talking about what a mess I thought the QB situation was for this year because I just didn't see a way that they could give the reps the way they would need to, allocate them in the right manner, and evaluate that quarterback room, and also then get a quarterback ready for week one. I didn't think they could do all those things. I didn't have a lot of trust. You kept asking, do we trust the organization to do all that? I wouldn't trust almost any organization to do that, but especially this one. And that's what makes this so hard. It almost seems like you had too many people within that building making decisions on bringing in quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Because you would never strategize this. You would never say at the onset, all right, here's what we're going to do to finally figure out the one position, the position that's the most important of all of sports. Here's how we're going to attack this. What are we going to do? First thing we're going to do is we're going to trade for Kenny Pickett. All right, we're going to do that. Then we're going to go and add Joe Flacco. Then we're also going to draft Dylan Gabriel, overdraft him by almost every measure, by almost everybody who has broken down this draft. I get it. They might love him more than the others.
Which, man, makes it tough because that like guarantees him a spot on the roster.
And then they give him that, and then it's like, oh, my God, I can't believe Shador Sanders is still here. We got to take him. And then we're going to trade Travis Hunter for a first-round pick next year, which almost guarantees that no matter what happens this year with the quarterbacks, we're going to go back into the well next year with either number one overall, number two, number three, whatever, or trade up to that spot. That almost guarantees that you're wasting time with all the guys this year.
And that's, well, and this is not, I know we've been serious football guys here, but that's why I said 40 minutes ago to all the fans, that's why the healthiest thing for us to do as fans is to take it as a house money season. You just want it to be what? Forgettable. Because if you get that deep with it, you're going to get just as frustrated as I do, and you don't want to be that way. Make it forgettable. You don't want to be as forgettable. You don't want to be as frustrated as I am. That's a frustrating time because you got to split the difference, Tone. You see what serious football guys, quote unquote, are doing, but also you got fans who are going, "Hey, who gives a bleep? Come on, play the guy who entertains me." Joe Flacco can entertain you. I see no problem. If we were going strictly entertainment purposes.
Well, Jameis Winston. You just brought back Jameis Winston.
That's true.
That was some entertaining football times.
Hey, you just saw what the Bucs are bringing in Teddy Bridgewater to back up Baker Mayfield. Surprised he wasn't a possibility for us. Hell, for all we know, it probably was. So you start the season, I go, I'd be entertained by Joe Flacco. And then when Joe Flacco's gone, well, who's going to entertain me the most? Is Dylan Gabriel going to entertain me? Not according to what they're saying about him in camp. Is Kenny Pickett? Shador Sanders? Now that could be an entertaining quarterback. Hopefully for the better. 216-474-0092. Got a lot of people there. I'm going to get to you guys because you guys have been waiting around forever. Michael Lombardi, he was great with us. Hear that, 923thefan.com. Says the Browns have put themselves in a very difficult position with those four quarterbacks. Now five quarterbacks with Tyler Huntley, but you bring in a fifth because you got a couple of guys banged up, and it's put Shador Sanders maybe behind the eight ball.
But you could look at it and say that
All four of these guys are going to play with you someday, play for you someday this year. So 20 reps is 20 reps is 20 reps, right? That's Michael Lombardi with us about 20 minutes ago. 92.3 The Fan, 92.3thefan.com on the free Odyssey app. You want to go ahead and check that out. We also have the podcast coming up, 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app. But right? Presented by Extend Technologies. That's at 10:15 a.m. Eastern, yes.
Yeah, that's that. The next question is, when do they start gearing this up for getting somebody ready for week one? I know we're still very early in this process, but very quickly.
Are you? No. No, that Joe Flacco hasn't taken any reps, so I'm either saying that we're going to have ourselves a little bit of an August surprise, and somebody else might get it, which that means I guess Nick Wilson might end up doing a champion's pose. That I might just slam my head in a car door if something like that were to go down. I got to tell you, Owen's giving me the thumbs up.
Now we're talking. That's
unforgettable. Because I have to knock myself into coherence is what I would have to do. Clearly, none of this world is real, and I've either been dead for the last year, or I'm just I'm somewhere in a rubber room and I don't know it. That's what it would take for Dylan Gabriel to start week one. I'm sorry. I respect Nick. Love Nick. No. No. You wouldn't do that. Better not. But any four of these guys can play for you. So what he's saying is right. I mean, it's very hard, if not impossible, to develop two guys. But the reps are, you got this 40-year-old man. That's what makes it possible to do that. You got this 40-year-old man who you believe doesn't need very many reps. It's very difficult here. And you've made it difficult on yourselves. And you made it a little bit difficult for Browns fans. That's where I'm going, hey, man, just look at this as house money if you're a fan. You got two first-round picks next year. House money as best you can. Because if you think about it any other way, you're going to start to get really annoyed. Brandon in Painesville, you're first up on the Fan. Hello, Brandon.
Hey, Ken, Carmen, Anthony, Lima.
Hi, Brandon.
Guys, look, I think in a roundabout way, we're all pretty close in age. So let me take you back to 1999. All right, the Browns are coming back. All right, I'm a senior in high school. Okay. We have Tim Couch.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Couch is our man. He's going to take us to the promised land, right? But, Ken, Anthony, let me ask you something. From that year till now, when is the last time the Cleveland Browns had an identity? When was the last time we said we entered preseason, we entered the season, and we said we have a team, baby? We're ready.
I don't think we knew about it going into the year. I think 2020, they had that identity. We didn't know, and we certainly didn't know because no one was allowed at training camp, obviously. But like that was we're going to run the ball, we're going to protect the ball, we're going to eliminate turnovers, we're going to try to play tight defense. That was an identity.
But other than that,
we haven't had
every
one.
Year since Tim Couch.
Uh huh.
And that was kind of, hey, we're just being thrown together here to come back into the league, right?
Uh-huh.
So that, to me, that doesn't really count. From then on, it's been nothing but quarterback competitions, year in, year out. Mm-hmm. We can't get this right. We can't enter a season, period, end of story.
Well,
when are we going to get to be an NFL team?
When we get
a real, true NFL team?
I'm sorry, Brandon. I don't mean to sound annoyed to you. I just think the answer is so simple, is that when we find a quarterback that we can actually get behind here. I mean, look at the Bears. The Bears are not a great example. I'm just using them as an example because they're the most recent example. They're devoid, and they've had some weird, sneaky, good years because they've been a good defense, and that's been their identity. But they've always looked for that quarterback. And now they're going full bore into that quarterback where it's like, hey, man, this guy's either going to sink or swim. Look at the weapons we've given him. Look at the tight ends we've given, everything. And now we're going to find out because their whole identity is based around Caleb Williams. We are going to be that same way. And Brandon, I got to get to some other people, and thank you for the call. Their identity is somewhere in college right now. Their identity is playing at South Carolina or LSU or Penn State or one of those, or maybe Texas.
Marty might have watched his tape yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, for all we know, their identity is in college because the Browns are going to end up doing the same damn thing we're talking about. You don't think you have wide receivers now? Eventually, you will have wide receivers. You will have a boatload of them. They'll do what the Bears have done. Especially if the Bears hit, you can guarantee they're going to do what the Bears have done. Mark those words. 3 years from now, if you get a quarterback worth anything, you'll have your Roma Dunze. You'll have your Cole Kmet. You'll have your Easton Loveland. Colston Loveland, you'll have him. You'll have your guys. They will build around that QB. Come hell or high water. Todd in Akron. Todd, hello.
Yeah, thank you for taking me on. He asked for an ID. That's what I'm calling about. You will never be able to get no identity without one person making decisions in your organization. That's the Browns' problem. You can't have multiple people making major decisions on drafting players.
Well, they say that it was DJ Moore's another one. I forgot about him. Who was making the decisions? I was told in press conferences it was Andrew Berry.
No, I don't believe that. I believe it's more people making those decisions. Yes, I do.
I think a lot of people, they always say it's a collaborative effort? Is all efforts collaborative?
They're on the same page.
All right. I mean, Todd, fair. Thank you very much for the call. I think you always want the buck to stop somewhere. Buck's always going to stop with the owner. He even said that. Like, eventually he's the one who answers for all of it. Thanks to everybody who joined us today.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports and all things culture. From two U.S. Women's National Team World Cup champions and Olympians, follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.